This is Health and Safety 1, suitable for pre-service or orientation for a beginner, someone who is working in a licensed child care center in Texas. My name is Sharon Sarles, and my company is Organizational Strategies. We do training and consulting for early childhood development centers. Okay, so health and safety, one, meaning the most basic that we're going to do, we're going to talk about what any employee needs to know, the very basics in terms of how to keep the children healthy. We're going to talk about hand washing. We're going to talk about cleaning in the environment. This is often the first job that is presented to you. And we'll talk a little bit about diapering, but we'll have other chats about diapering and about other issues. Okay? So basic health and safety for licensed child care centers in Texas. And today is 2011. Maybe the first job that you're presented with, either as a substitute or as a very new employee, is going to be assistant teacher. And you're going to be washing tables and washing hands. It may seem that way. Let me tell you how important that is. It really is an extremely vital function. Not simply because you're allowing the teacher to do what she can do, but also it's very important for the children because we want the children to be healthy enough to learn. Look, putting a lot of children together in a small space is not a natural environment. It's an environment in which disease could spread rapidly. And so we want to manage in a way so that doesn't happen. And I'm going to brag on the center that I ran that we had a very low instance of disease going through, whether it's colds or measles or any of the other communicable diseases. We want to clean in such a way that we don't have epidemics spreading through our school. That's extraordinarily important. Of course, it's a business objective for business. We don't want a bad reputation, but it's also a compassionate objective. We don't want to hurt the children, and it's an educational objective. If the children are well and healthy, then they can spend their energy on learning. And so really, it's part of making the world a better place for these children and for everyone. So that's the big picture. We don't want to make the children sick. And so keeping things clean is a vital function. Now we'll take things in this order. First, we'll talk about hand washing of the children. And then we'll talk about hand washing of employees. And then we'll talk about sanitizing or cleaning everything else in the environment. And then just an introduction about diapering. This is not the order in which the minimum standards are written, but I thought that that was more helpful to you. And we will be talking, we will be reading right from those minimum standards because those are the rules by which we live and manage our centers. But it will be applicable to you even if your center is not in Texas. I think that the basic ideas are going to be applicable. And of course, if you're in another state, of course, you'll want to address those minimum standards in your state. Of course. All right. So, basic health practices for a healthful environment, right? Children are healthy. We want a healthful environment. All of that's important. And to let me underline how important it is, let me quote Dr. Maria Montessori. She was one of the first preschool educators. Of course, she did more than just preschool, but early on, she was the first woman to earn a medical degree, a medical doctorate in Rome, and she was early set to helping in tenement slums and founding the first child care centers. There were kindergartens, but there were no centers like we think today. And of course, not everyone agrees with her philosophy, but she was certainly a pioneer, and she had children who had thought to be incorrigible or retarded and not able to learn, and she proved that they were, in fact, eager to learn and happy to learn and more interested in learning than in simple prizes. So she had some good ideas. That's all I'm saying. So let's talk about one idea. She said that a teacher is to be a servant, a saint, and a scientist. A good teacher is a servant, a saint, and a scientist. Why a servant? Because her most important duty in the preschool class is to prepare the environment so the child can learn. Because the child learns through his senses, seeing, hearing, tasting, feeling, and so forth, that it's very important to have an environment set up for the child. So the teacher is a servant. And if you're washing tables and washing hands, you may feel like a servant. But think about that is the number one role for a teacher, which is a very high calling. Secondly, a saint, that the teacher must think not so much of herself or himself, but of the child and of the child's development and not their own comfort. A saint. Servant, a saint, and lastly, a scientist. When Dr. Montessori was talking about a teacher being a scientist, she was talking about being very observant in the classroom. Observe the children and see what it is that is most productive in their education. How to best teach this student to be an observer, an acute observer. But I would suggest that in this case, a good teacher has to be a scientist in terms of knowing a little something about the germ theory, about chemicals, and about those kinds of things. It's very important that we do a very good job of managing the environment so that it is as healthful as possible, so that children can be as healthy as possible. Yes, so take up your calling as a teacher's assistant with great pride and honor that you're doing something extremely important, that washing tables and washing hands and diapering children is a vital part of their development and their education and making the world a better place. You're a servant, you're a saint, and you're a scientist. Okay, so washing hands of children. Very important, and it is increasingly recognized as important. And some of the best centers are now having parents come in the classroom with their child and everybody washing their hands. So the day begins with the child washing their hands, but also the parent being involved in this. And because this is increasingly important, I decided to put this first, to talk about hand washing of the children. And so here are when the children are expected to wash their hands according to the minimum standards: before eating, before playing in a water play table. Well, why would that be? Well, it's obvious before eating. I hope that's obvious, because we don't want to be eating germs with our food. We want to have clean hands when we're touching our food, and usually the children are touching their food. So I think that's probably obvious before eating. Before playing in a water table, because we want the water then to be clean for all the children. We don't want to be spreading germs, so we're going to wash off dirt and germs so they don't get into the water. So before playing in a water table, after toileting or having a diaper changed. So this is the children, okay? And we want to make it a good habit for them that they are washing their hands after toileting, which is that's probably obvious to you. But we need to be sure that they're doing that and they know how to wash their hands correctly. And also diapering, because, you know, those hands can go anywhere. We want to be sure that they're clean, okay? After outdoor activities. So a child has gone out on the playground and comes in before they work with the toys inside, they wash their hands because there are germs outside. And after playing in sand, because the sand, to the extent that it's moist, it will harbor germs, and certainly the soil does. After feeding or touching animals, and any other time the caregiver has reason to believe that the child has come in contact with substances that could be harmful. So up until now, we've been talking about germs, but of course, a number of chemicals, many chemicals in our environment today, and we want to be sure that the child does not ingest those or absorb them through their skin. So hand washing is very important. Now you may say, then the children are washing their hands all the time. Well, they're washing their hands quite a bit, but this is not a natural situation, and we don't want to have a sterile environment. And that's true in a home. But remember, we're in a licensed childcare center, and we have a number of children in a small, a relatively small space. So that is a little different from a family with a limited number of children who are all colonized to a certain set of germs. And so, yes, we wouldn't want to become phobic about germs in a normal environment. But in the childcare center, it's hard to overdo being concerned with germs because we have so many small children and their hands going in so many places. We really must cut down the spread of germs there. And so, while I take the point in terms of wider life, in terms of a childcare center, washing hands repeatedly is very, very important. And our society has become lax in this. If you study history, when hand washing was first discussed, I wouldn't say first discussed because people have known to wash their hand for centuries, but in around the 1900s, the upper middle class women were going on a crusade teaching people that they needed to wash their hands, and the whole idea of germs and of hygiene came in, and this dramatically improved the health of society. And so for 100 years, people have washed their hands as a rule before they ate and so forth, but in our fast food environment, we're forgetting this, and even when people go into public restrooms, often they're forgetting to wash their hands, and we need a revival of basic hand washing, I would suggest, in our society. I am not suggesting we need to become phobic about germs in our wider life, but in the preschool classroom, yes, we need to be as clean as possible because we don't want those diseases rampant running through the classroom. And we'll come back to that thought when we talk about cleaning in the preschool class. But for now, let's talk about how to wash hands. Isn't it wonderful that we don't have to pour out from a pitcher and wash in the same bowl? Okay, we are going to have running water available to us. And so children who are old enough, about 18 months old, can wash their hands with soap and running water. Soap and running water. There's really not an advantage to have special soap because regular soap will help you with the antimicrobial, the Castile. So you don't have to have soap that will crack your hands, and that'll be more important for the staff. And running water. Now, the state standards don't require that it be hot water. If it is hot water, then you need to be sure that it's not ever going to be too hot that the children burn their hands. And even if you have some variation, you're going to want to watch that and monitor that. So the children 18 months of age and older, and of course the employees, are going to wash your hands with soap and running water. Pre-moistened towelettes, wipes, or waterless hand sanitizers are not substitutes. None of these are as good as soap and running water. Let's take the sanitizer. Let's say it has a lot of alcohol in it, probably does. And so what it does is kill some germs, may not kill all of them, and then it'll be sitting on your hands. And by the way, the alcohol will crack your hands. So this is not a good solution. It may be better in some cases than nothing, like in some other environments, but the state standards specifically say it's not a substitute. We want running water and soap. Why do we want that? Because it's the best. Okay, now, research has shown that this is the single most effective prevention of germ spreading in a childcare setting is good hand washing, okay, by caregivers and by children. So how do you do it? You rub your hands together under the water. That's the most important part. Actually, that's the way soap works. Soap is really about the fine rubbing that it creates, and it rubs the germs away, and the water washes them away. And the state standards don't say this, but I know many educators who have their children sing the ABCs while they're washing their hands, because the idea is to keep them washing their hands, because you know many of our little children will just dunk their hands in the water quickly and go about their business, and this is not sufficient. All right, so we want to not have basins of water, but running water, and have them wet their hands with the water, then apply the soap. This is from the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. Wet their hands with the running water, then apply the soap, then rub their hands together to make lather. Scrub them well. Be sure to scrub the backs of the hands, between the fingers, and under the nails. Under the nails. Under the nails. I know some research about that. Continue rubbing your hands for at least 20 seconds. Okay, so the happy birthday song might work too. Rinse your hands then well under the running water. Now, a lot of children will leave soap residue, and that's not good. So rinse the water wet. Rinse the hands well under the running water, and then dry the hands on a clean towel or air dry, and use a paper towel to turn off the faucet. You think about the handles being a place where germs can alight and grow, and so well, once again, those alcohol-based sanitizers don't substitute, because you need that running water situation, okay? Hand washing by the children. All right, so now that's children over 18 months. What about infants? Yes, they need their hands washed too. So until a child is old enough to use the faucet, then you will wash the child's hand by using an individual cloth or a disposable towel, and followed by a cloth with, let me read this. You must wash the infant's hand using an individual cloth or disposable towel with soap, followed by a cloth or disposable towel used to rinse with clear water and dry. Okay, so it might be three towels, because you got one with soap, one without, you know, with plenty of water to get that soap off. And you can observe and tell if you've got the soap all off, because you don't want soap in the child's mouth. In an infant, that would happen. So use soap and running water as specified in this division, when infants are old enough to be raised to the faucet and reach the water, and at any time that the caregiver has reason to believe the child has come in contact with substance that could be harmful to the child. So you're going to have toddlers who are going to eat with their fingers, and they have to have their hands washed before then. They're going to play with water or sand. They have to have their hands washed before, and I would suggest often after. They're going to go outside, and they'll certainly get their hands dirty outside and when they come in. So all of the times, I would suggest, and maybe more, put their hands where they shouldn't put them, then those children will have their hands washed by the caregiver, by the teacher, right? You. So, right now, you have to judge whether or not it's going to work to raise the child up and put their hands in the water. And of course, the younger children really love this. But you know, in the situation, you have to see whether that's going to work. And of course, from the small child, you're going to use the towel, the small infant, right? So, judge the situation. Judge the age of the child and the situation. So if the child just is not going to be able to cooperate with you to get their hands under the water, you go use the towel method. That I think that's simple. And if you have any questions, of course, consult with your lead teacher. Okay. Now, it doesn't have to be, we've discussed, it doesn't have to be hot water. A few centers will only have cold. But if you do have hot, then, of course, your center director will surely have set it to not be more than 120 degrees Fahrenheit. And, of course, you're going to also want to watch and be sure that the children are safe getting to the sink. And some places use step stools and so forth. You have to judge all that to be sure it's safe. And if you have any questions about that, consult with your lead teacher or your director, because the director will be in charge of the building and the environment. Okay. Okay, and of course, let's talk now about hand washing of employees. When must you wash your hands? Before eating or handling food, or before handling medication for anyone, before feeding a child, after arriving at the child care center, after diapering a child, after assisting a child with toileting, after your personal toileting. And I would suggest often you might want to do this before you're toileting, before you're diapering a child. That, you know, you can't do it too much, really, in a child care center. After handling or cleaning bodily fluids, such as wiping noses, mouths, bottoms, tending sores. Okay. After feeding or handling animals, of course, birds, any kind of animal, or a living thing. After outdoor activities, after handling raw food products, after eating, drinking, smoking, after using any cleaners or toxic chemicals. And I would suggest if you don't know, then wash your hands. All right. So you're also required to wash your hands all the time. And I would also very much stress the fingernails. And if you're working with twos or less, you might not want to attempt to wear long fingernails, because you want to keep those clean. And that is a real area where germs can get to. So wash your hands, model good routines, keep yourself well. I mean, I can't stress that enough. Keep yourself well, but also you want to keep the children well. You don't want to be carrying a germ from one to the next. And remember, germs are invisible to your eye. So better safe than sorry in a licensed center. Now, there are some times that you'll want to wear gloves, and when you're handling bodily fluids is a good time. Use disposable, non-porous gloves when handling blood, vomit, or other bodily fluids that might contain blood. Discard the gloves immediately after one use. Wash your hands after using and disposing of the gloves. Okay? Now, this doesn't require you to use gloves when you're handling breast milk. And I would suggest that you certainly should do that when you're diapering. We'll get to diapering later. Okay? So, washing the kids' hands, being sure they have a habit of washing their hands, and you washing your hands. I'm hearing you want the list again. Okay, here's the list. Before eating or handling food or medication, before feeding a child, after arriving at the child care center, after diapering a child, after assisting a child with toileting, after your personal toileting, after handling or cleaning bodily fluids such as wiping noses, mouths, bottoms, or tending sores, after handling or feeding animals, after outdoor activities, after handling raw fruit products, after eating, drinking, smoking, after any cleaners, using any cleaners or toxic chemicals, and I would add, or substances that you don't know that they might be toxic. And of course, we also said after you take your gloves off, if you're using gloves. Okay. So moving on to sanitizing toys and the rest of the classroom. So what steps do you take to be sure that the environment is healthful? Well, your director will be certain to maintain the building, but work as a team with your director. She can't have a million eyes all the time. So if you see something in the building, the grounds, the equipment that may need to be repaired, let her know. Now that's, of course, part of safety, but that's also related to health. Okay. Set aside toys and equipment that are placed. Okay. Now, set aside toys and equipment that are placed in children's mouth or otherwise contaminated by bodily secretions or excrement to be sanitized before handling by another child. So if you're in a classroom with small children, you know that they're going to put things in their mouth. And as soon as it comes out of the mouth, it it's set aside so it doesn't go into another child's hand or mouth. And you probably have a dish tub on the counter. That's how my teachers did it. Of course, you'll work with the lead teacher in your room, and she'll show you where she puts the toys that have been tasted, okay, or been mouthed. And of course, if anything has become dirty with, it says excrement, you know that means poo, right? Obviously, you're going to set that aside so it doesn't spread. Wash the child's hand and be sure the whole place is cleaned and sanitary. Okay. Any way that it's contaminated, any toy that's contaminated, immediately you remove it from the children so it doesn't get on other children's hands or perish the thought in their mouth. Of course, check around. If you see something that's contaminated, check around to see if you've got a child that you need to clean up or other toys or, you know, a piece of floor or furniture. Okay. Machine washing cloth toys, if used, at least weekly and when contaminated. So if you do have cloth toys, then everything should be washed at least weekly. But more than that, so if it's become damp for some reason, whether it's pee or been chewed or whatever, as soon as you see that, take that and put that aside. And be watchful, because we don't want the germs and saliva of one child getting into the system of the other. So, machine washing all linens at least weekly and when soiled or before another child uses them. So, if you've got one crib for each bed, one for each child, according to the minimum standards, you don't have to change that unless it's dirty. I would suggest that many places are beating the standards, because these are minimum standards. Notice that sometimes you've got things that are jointly used. So maybe you have a pad where any of the toddlers might read their books. Well, either that's going to be plastic and you see that it's sanitized daily and anytime it gets contaminated, or it's going to be fabric and then you're going to wash it. And this says at least weekly or when soiled or before another child uses them. So you're going to have more than one child, so it's probably not a good plan to have fabric, because you're not going to be able to pull it up and wash it all the time. So then you're going to go to fabric. To plastic rather than fabric, okay? And these are the minimum standards. So if your center washes linens daily, good. But this is said, or when soiled. So if pee or poo gets on any of the fabric, you know, take that, remove that immediately and wash it. Sanitizing sleeping equipment before a different child uses it and when soiled. Okay, so usually, every child has a pad or a cot that is labeled with their name. And the minimum standards say that sleeping equipment must be sanitized before a different child uses it. So, if different children might use the same cot, it must be sanitized in between. Usually, in Texas, each child has a name on their particular pad or cot, but what normally is the practice when I see it is each and every one of them is sanitized after the child finishes using it as it's being put away. But minimum standards again, okay? And when soiled, so if it ever gets dirty or pee or poo on it, then you get it clean, okay? 5, sanitizing potty chair after each child's use. Okay, particularly those small training potty chairs need to be particularly well cleaned. Sanitizing potty chairs after each child's use, and then whatever your center says about toilets, being sure that they stay clean as well. 6. Emptying water play tables and toys used in water tables daily, sanitizing and ensuring children and caregivers wash their hands before using the water table. All right, because we've already talked about children and teachers washing their hands before they use a water table. This says also that they should be emptied daily. This is because algae and other germs can grow in that water, so you want to have fresh water every day. You want to check, be sure that the toys are clean. All right, so you empty that play table and all the toys. Be sure they're all sanitized, okay? So does this sound like at the end of the day, and particularly in the toddler room, but in all your rooms, you're going to be doing some sanitizing? You bet. 7. Maintaining sandboxes and sand tables in a sanitary manner. Now, you don't have to empty the sand table every day, but you will want to check the toys and check. I would suggest you check that sand table every day. Be sure it doesn't have any contamination in it. And if it does, then get some new sand. That's what I would say. So you need to maintain it in a sanitary manner. And, of course, that means you want to keep poo and pee out of it. But there are some other things that you may need to watch, and particularly around allergies. So, word to the wise, right? So you don't, if you have some child with, say, a peanut butter allergy, and you got somebody, some other kid with peanut butter hands, and they put it in the sand, then you got contaminated sand, and you got to get the sand out. Okay, so just check your sandbox all the time and the toys there. 8, making all garbage inaccessible to children and managing it to keep the child care center inside and outside free of insects, rodents, offensive odors, and disposing of it according to local and state requirements. So I think it should be obvious that you don't let the kids get into the trash. Sometimes children can be rather creative, so you need to be careful of this. And I think it's also obvious that you want to keep rodents and insects away. And cleanliness is the watchword there, particularly in your kitchen. And so you want to get that trash out quickly, out of the room and out of the center and into covered waste cans outside. Most of that, will be under your director's purview. And so work as a team with the rest of the center. But the offensive odors... Ooh, that's sometimes hard. What I found very useful was air filters. And as a director, I bought an air filter for my toddler room, and we cut down the odors. But in the meantime, get that trash out. And I always like to have bags that had some sort of closing mechanism on it. But if you leave it to the end of the day, then you're much more likely to have a sink problem than if you get them out earlier. So work as a team. Find out what your center does with that. And anyway, this minimum standards say keep offensive odors out. Dispose of it according to local and state requirements. 9, keep all floors, ceiling, walls, and I would add windows, in good repair and clean. Paints used at the child care center must be lead free. So your job is going to be to keep everything clean, all the surfaces. I can't stress how important that is. And we'll keep going before I talk some more. 10, keeping all parts of the child care center used by children well heated, lighted, and ventilated. Having good air exchange is important. 11, sanitizing tabletops, furniture, and other similar equipment used by children when soiled or contaminated with matter such as food, body secretions, or excrement. Well, it's obvious that if you got snot or poo on the table, you got to clean it off. Not just clean it, but sanitize it. Yeah, you want to take whatever solution that your school uses and be sure that all the germs are gone. Tabletops. Let me really emphasize tabletops. In a child care center, the same table is used for art, for eating, and for lots of other things. Lots of hands go down on that table, and lots of sticky stuff like glue and Play-Doh and then food. And for this reason, the table has to be clean and sanitary many times, many, many times in a day, and really well cleaned, because a lot of those art products are a little difficult sometimes. And so really great place for germs to get in. And this is why typically you're going to find that centers, and I don't know if it may actually be in the standard still. When it was, you put down a napkin before you put down the food, because you don't want the food on the table, on a bare table. Why? Because of all this other problem. But please, still, be sure the table is clean, and that means washing it after art and before lunch and after lunch. And you might check it even after story time, right? Because you just never know. Those children will find a way to get goo on the table. Does that mean you're spending your day washing the table? Yeah, it does. But remember, this is an important part. It's compassionate for the children because you don't want them sick. It's educational because you want the children to use their energy to learn and not to have to fight off germs. And it is truly a business objective because you want the center to have a good reputation and not to lose money because children are sick. So it's really vital, important part, washing the tables. And we'll talk in a completely different segment about what kind of solutions, because that's really more for the directors. But I think it's important to have a solution that is as little toxic as possible, because I don't want to harm my teachers who are washing the tables all the time. And, of course, the children breathing the same thing. So, but that's another discussion. Wash the tabletops, the furnitures, and all the equipment. Okay, and so let's stop there. Well, hold that thought. But everything in the center needs to be washed. It doesn't say the shelves. It doesn't say the toys. But, of course, they have to be clean. And when you have an instance of some child being sick, maybe you hear about, you know, little Johnny or little Susie has been diagnosed with having whatever, it's a communicable disease, then redouble your efforts. Sanitize and re-sanitize. I'm going to brag on my center. We had such a good rate of having everybody well. And I'm going to brag, in this case, on my two-year-old teacher, because we had some instances where we had some diagnoses that where we could have had some epidemics running through the school. But she would come early and she would wash and sanitize all the toys, all the shelves, every surface in the classroom before school started. And then she would do it again when school ended. So it was double sanitized. And here she would clean the doorknobs. When I say every surface, I mean it, but especially the doorknobs. And she would sanitize it even in between arrival times. So a few families had come, it would get cleaned before the other few families come. You know, she couldn't do it for every person who touched the doorknob, but the doorknob is something that lots of people touch. So she made triple sure to get that clean. And so cleanliness really matters, and you can hardly overdo it. Okay, so we did talk about the solution that you're cleaning the tabletops with, and you'll find that water is not enough. So whatever your center uses, be sure that it's clearly marked and it's not in reach of the children. Usually there's an upper cabinet above the sink. But whatever your center does, you work as a team with them, and be sure that the table is clean and you're not poisoning everybody while you do it. I think this is a real key issue. Hand washing does prevent the spread of disease. Research shows it. Your observation will show it. And If you do have contamination on your toys, obviously that's a great way of spreading disease, which is exactly what we do not want to do. So it will be important to get those toys clean. It will help if you have extra toys so you can rotate them, because you always want to have children who have access to toys. All right. So how do you sanitize? Oh boy, here are the order, the steps. Wash with soap and water. Rinse with clear water. Then soak in or spray on a disinfecting solution for at least 2 minutes. Rinse with cool water. Only those items that children are likely to place in their mouths. And allowing the surface or article to air dry. Once again, the four steps. Washing with water and soap. Rinsing with clear water. Soaking in or spraying on a disinfecting solution for at least 2 minutes, and rinsing with cool water only those items that children are likely to place in their mouths, and allowing the surface or article to air dry. So, for instance, you have a little turtle that a toddler grasps. You know that goes in the mouth. So after that is sitting in a disinfecting solution for a couple of minutes, and you then you rinse that, because you don't want that disinfecting solution to get in the mouth, all right? But you have a three-level car garage in which a toddler will zoom his car up and down. It's less likely that that will go in his mouth. So, and you may not be able to soak it because it's so large and the base may be wood or composition. So maybe you're just spraying that with your sanitizing solution. You don't need to rinse that because it's not going in a mouth. Okay? So first you wash with soap and water. So will this mean a assembly line of washing at the end of every day? Well, yes, and maybe in the middle of the day too. Washing with soap and water, rinsing with clear water, soaking in or spraying on a disinfecting solution, and then 3B, maybe rinsing with waters, and then 4, allowing the surface or article to air dry. So in your toddler room, your infant room, your toddler room, and your two-year-old room, this is a large portion of the duties of the assistant teacher, but still true in all of the rooms. It's just that more likely things go in the mouth in those younger groups. All right, so the disinfecting solution, of course, as a beginning teacher, new on the staff, you're going to work with the other staff members, the lead teachers and directors. Very often it is a Deakin solution, meaning bleach and water, but there are other commercial products that are antimicrobial and less toxic than bleach is. So just know it needs to be antimicrobial and as little toxic as possible, and work with your director. And in some cases, you may use dishwasher or washing machine to sanitize items, because if the temperature is 100 degrees Fahrenheit or higher for 5 or more minutes, then that does disinfect. So once again, consult with your director. Now I want to say a few words about diapering before we leave. Diapering is important enough to have a whole discussion on, but let me say a few words about it because you might be called upon to do diapering, even if perhaps you've been hired in another area, maybe in shortage of personnel or some other emergency situation, you'll have to diaper. Typically, you will find directions posted, and this is good. And if when you're new on the center, it will be good for you to read that posting or to get a more experienced teacher to show you how. And this would be good initiative, right? If you're not formally trained, day one, get somebody to train you. This, because just me telling you just briefly may not be enough, but let's do mention quickly that we do want to change our diapers quickly. We do not want the children to sit wet or dirty. We want to thoroughly clean them with individual cloths or disposable towels, and you must dispose of those, discard those towels after use, and launder the cloths again. Most people use the disposable. Ensure that the children are dry before placing a new diaper on the child, and you can use a separate towel for that. Discard that or launder that. So you're not using the same towel twice, never. Okay, don't apply powders, creams, ointments, lotions without the parent's written permission. If the parent supplies them, permission is implicit. I mean, you assume that. But if you're new, you ask, okay? And all of those powders, creams, ointments, lotions must be labeled and just for that child. Keep all of the diaper changing supplies out of the children's reach. Be happy. I know you may be stressed out diapering for the first time, but remember that this is a child as a person. So you want to keep a pleasant attitude, talk with the child, joke with them. In fact, my best toddler teacher said that she was the lead teacher, but she wanted to do the diapering because she wanted to bond with each child. So whatever you're cleaning up, remember that's separate from the child. Okay. So be sweet to the child. And wipes are helpful. So you could look around and see what the center has provided you. Okay. And the children need to give permission before creams or powders are used. All right. And because they'll know about skin allergies and so forth. So, but once again, work as a team with your lead teacher, your director, in finding out what their procedure is in your center and what the parents have directed. Okay, so you're going to find a diaper changing table. It will be separate from the food area, right? A separate diaper changing table, which is safe that the child will not fall off of, but you're going to monitor it, and doesn't come in contact with play areas or where other children could be in contact with those germs. You want it safe so the child cannot fall. And you want to have a safety mechanism. So safety straps. Yes, you might strap the child down while you change his diaper because some children are wiggly and you don't want him to wiggle off the counter. And it's usually a counter so that you can reach it. Okay. Caregiver's hand must remain on the child at all times when the child is on the surface, right? So even if there is a strap and even if there is a wall, your hand is there because we're making triply sure that this child is not going to fall. You must have a hand washing sink in the diaper changing area, and we wash your hands. I say before and certainly after. Separate area for changing diaper or changing soiled underwear. Okay, reduces contamination problems. Wash your hands. Wash the child's hand after the diaper change. Use disposable gloves. You wash even then after you take the gloves off. Wash your hands with running soap and water. And don't change diapers if you've got an open wound. Now, that should go without saying, right? Don't change the diaper if you have an open wound. Discuss this with your director if you do. Certainly, you sanitize the diaper changing area after use, right? So we've talked about sanitizing. So you're going to clean that up after every child. And often there is a liner, a paper liner. You'll throw that away. But also the hard surface you're going to clean. You're going to sanitize it again, all right? You're going to place those soiled diapers in a covered container and so they can be removed quickly and don't stink up the place. All right. Now, so it's helpful if you get your head together before all of this. Look at the environment. Read the rules. See how someone else does it. Because when you're there with a child, you're spending so much time being sure the child is safe. It's better if you have all the things that you need and you know the order in which you're supposed to do things, right? If there's any question, you wash your hands, right? So keep everybody clean and everybody safe, and you're home free. Okay? That's just the very beginning of diaper change. Be sure everybody's safe and everybody's clean. All right, so what have we said today? We have said children need their hands washed all the time. Employees need their hands washed all the time. The toys need to be clean and sanitary. And diapering is a special case where things need to be clean and sanitary. Okay? So you have had you have a handout, because I want you to have visual if you want it. And so we'll have a multiple choice test, and you can get your clock hour. Okay? So how do you do that? Review. So please do study. It's really useful. Look over the handout. Ask yourself, what questions might I be asked? What is this really going to look like when I'm my first day at work? And how does our center do this, whichever is appropriate to you? And then take the test, a multiple choice test, and then send that to me, Sharon Sarles at Organizational Strategies. If there's an online means of payment, there'll be an electronic way to send that. But if you want to do this the regular way, you can send me your test questions and whatever payment is stipulated. Send it to Organizational Strategies, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And if you include your test, include your contact information, your payment, and assuming that you have passed your test, I will send you back your certificate, which will say your clock hours. We are at about 52 minutes now. I think it'll take you at least 8 minutes to take that test. So welcome to a very important calling. You are now a teacher, and a teacher of the smallest ones, a caregiver, a servant, a saint, a scientist. It's the first step in a great calling. It's not just washing tables. It's being a servant, a saint, and a scientist. It's helping the children learn. Thank you so much for your service, and we'll talk to you next time. Now, we're about to take a test, but before we do, let me encourage you to study. So I'm going to ask you a few review questions, and I'll give you a few study tips. I know a lot of people, when they're doing self-instructional, it's open book, and so they just take the easy way out. But really, this is important to actually learn and to remember. So here are a few study questions. Go back and look over the times you need to be sure the children are washing their hands. Is a waterless hand sanitizer an okay substitute for washing your hands in running water? If you were going to show a new student how they should wash their hands, what would you do and what would you say? You might go back and refresh your memory about when you need to wash your hands. Or if you were helping a substitute, when would you tell her she needed to wash her hands? All right, so you're in the toddler room or the infant room, and a child has put a toy in his or her mouth, and they're ready to move on. They leave the toy. What should be done with that toy? Okay, so when you sanitize the toy, there are four steps. What are those four steps? Okay, and then there's an if statement in one of the steps. What's that? Okay, so what counts as a sanitizing solution? Okay, and what is the basic procedure for diapering? Do you have to wash infants' hands after they've been diapered? And if so, how? Now, you wore gloves to diaper that child. Do you have to wash your hands after you took off those gloves? And so what are some safety precautions you have to watch out for when you're diapering? What safety precautions do you watch out for children when they're washing their hands? When must linens be laundered? How about cloth toys? Okay, so if you can answer those, good. Look over all the rules, your handout, look over that again. Studying helps you remember. Certainly if you don't understand something, read over that carefully until you understand. And then remind yourself of all those things that you do. And here's another study technique. Imagine that you're in that new classroom and things are going fast. Do you remember things well enough to be sure to do them correctly? Right. That's what it's all about. Okay, so you've got the exam in paper, I hope, but let me read those to you because some people might need that in oral form. So we've got 10 questions, multiple choice. One, when must you be sure that the children wash their hands? A, after they've gone to the toilet. B, before they eat. C, before playing in water at the water play table. D, all of the above. Two, when must you and other adults in the classroom wash their hands? A, before handling food or medication. B, upon arriving at the child care center. C, after diapering a child. D, all of the above. Question number 3. Why is it so very important to wash hands? A, it is the most important way to prevent the spread of germs. B, the rubbing of hands, water, and soap wash away germs. C, hand sanitizers are not as effective and may pose a hazard if they're eaten. D, all of the above. 4. What 4 steps do you use to wash your hands? A, apply soap and rinse. B, wet your hands, apply the soap, rinse, and dry on a community towel, meaning one towel for all the employees. C, wet your hands, apply the soap, rinse, and dry on a paper towel. D, wet your hands, apply the soap, rub to lather for 20 seconds or more, rinse, dry, and then turn off the faucet with a paper towel. 5. According to minimum standards, who do you have to be sure washes their hands? A, parents who come to the center. B, infants when they have been diapered. C, children when they're coming from the playground. D, B and C, infants and children. You don't have to make the parents according to the minimum standards. Or D, all of the above. E is all of the above. D was just B and C. And E was all of the above. 6. Number 6. What is not required for correct hand washing? A, hot water. B, 20 seconds of time. C, soap. E, a clean towel or an air dryer. 7. A baby has put a toy in his mouth and now has moved on to another toy. What is the correct procedure? A, at the end of the day, there's a 4-step process for sanitizing all the toys. B, that toy should be immediately rinsed. C, that toy should be immediately washed. D, that toy should be immediately set aside and sanitized according to the 4-step process. 8. You are responsible for keeping the 2-year-old room clean. You must remember that 4-step process is A, rinse, wash, spray, dry. B, wash with soap and water, rinse, Dunkin' bleach dry. C. Wash with soap and water. Rinse. Soak for 2 minutes or more in a disinfecting solution. And rinse with cool water and allow it to air dry. D. Spraying with Clorox is a good substitute. 9. What counts as a disinfecting solution? A. A homemade solution of 1 tablespoon of bleach per gallon of water for toys and silverware, but only if made daily, placed in a closed container and well labeled. B. An antimicrobial product registered with the EPA and labeled as suitable to use in a hospital. C. A commercial dishwasher set at 160 degrees Fahrenheit or higher for 5 minutes or longer. D. Any of the above. 10. Which of these things would you do if you were responsible for a toddler class? A. Diaper promptly so children do not stay wet. B. After washing the child, be sure that he or she is dry by wiping with a separate paper towel. C. Be sure you talk to the child so that diapering is fun. D. Keep the child strapped down and one hand on the child so she cannot fall off the counter. E. All of the above. Okay. Congratulations. Send me that wonderful test to P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630 with whatever payment is stipulated, and you will receive your certificate for a clock hour under the Texas minimum standards requirement. Okay, thank you so much for learning, and thank you so much for your service. You're really an important part of those children's lives. See you next time.